Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Chris, you can find on the Twittens at SkateXEdge. You can find all of our podcasts at ComicRoast.com. And you can find all of our written reviews for comic books, regular books, movies, TV shows, games, board games, video games, Android games, iPhone games. Sunday at ReviewAndRoast.com.
Basically, anything that won't get you laid.
Yeah, pretty much. And then you can top all that off if you really are enjoying what we're doing. If you want to throw us a bone and help us out, you can click the little button on ReviewAndRoast.com for the Patreon, and you can become a patron and help us to develop our app and get some more advertising going and hopefully prepare for yet another Comic-Con. That would be nice to have another table.
Or for you ladies who would like Scott to throw them a bone.
Yeah, I can take you guys out to dinner. I haven't made that level yet on Patreon, but we're going to get there. Our number one today is going to be actually kind of a thicker one. It's a mini trade, Terminarch, on, I'm going to go ahead and just assume it's Awesome Comics, by Jordan Hart and Terry Huddleston. It's actually, I guess you probably would just consider it a trade because they did punch my card for it, so.
Well, if you read the back matter,
the afterword,
it's considered a prestige one shot because the guy said that there's possibly going to be more.
Right, I was gonna email them and say yes, please give me more.
They'll probably email you back and say canceled.
They probably will, because they're like, yeah, everybody but you hated this. So, oh yeah, we also have this other segment you're probably aware of called Over Under. Totally forgot about it until just now. Over Under is gonna be reasons.
Owning a robot.
Yeah. Owning a robot. Well, I don't know what it was, reasons for owning, but whatever, yes. Things that have to do with owning a robot. This one will be pretty sweet. So, yeah, let's do this.
Transmitter circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
I know everyone's super, super interested to know that we actually played X-Wing for probably a good 4 hours yesterday. Tournament-style rules. Brian originally was like, yeah, you guys all just play. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble because, meh. And after about 30 minutes of sitting here for the first game, he was whipping out ships and getting ready to do some stuff. So, I don't know.
Whipping out ships. Yeah, I have three ships.
Surprised.
I don't mind the game. It's just
It's definitely you're definitely at an advantage.
Stroke it too much?
If you spend money to buy multiples of every single ship, you're definitely at the advantage because you've got, you know, stronger ships, you've got the better upgrade cards because, you know, that shit's all, you know, personalized per expansion. So if there's some awesome cards out there, yeah, you can hop on eBay and buy the one card for $30, or you can go buy the ship for $50, and then, you know what I mean? But if you don't have the money, you're not going to be as well prepared as the next guy.
I was already this morning looking up cards that
I need. I know a lot of the game comes down to dice rolls, but
not really, sometimes.
Well, that's the thing, you know what I mean? A lot of it comes down to dice rolls, but at the same time, like Mike 90% of the time uses Vader, who has accuracy corrector, which automatically is two hits. So,
or you could have just been like me and fly like a Pollock and then have Brian pretty much win based on that.
Brian did that in the exact next match. It was pretty hilarious. While you were in the kitchen setting up your next squad, he was flying all over into stuff.
Well,
that's what he gets for making fun of me.
Exactly.
Well, in that second match, Jeff had, I forget what the heck those two small ships were.
Yeah, it's a Decimator and probably two TIE Fighters.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone says. The Decimator is the biggest overpowered piece of shit in that game. I know Mike, you just got to go after it first. It's got zero agility. Yeah, but it's got 16 hit points.
It's got 16 hit points and 360-degree firing arc.
Yeah, so you can't like get behind it and peck away, because if you get within range,
and
like, you're
Jeff
toast.
Also added that modification that was something crazy, like, oh, it gives him like an extra die if you're within, I forget what it was, but it was basically like a guarantee, like, oh, if you're anywhere within like 4 firing range of my ship, I'm going to shoot you for at least 2 every time.
Yeah.
was just like, oh, I might as well just sit here and not even move and just let you shoot me out of the sky. Otherwise, I'm just dragging out the inevitable.
Yeah, that ship's kind of like crazy, ridiculously powered. Sorry.
I gotta use it. I haven't. I don't, haven't even used it.
I haven't used it either because I just think it's such a bitch move, man. Like, come on. I'm flying. Like, yesterday I flew the new Rebel ship, which is actually kind of a dope ship. It really is. And then I had, like, you know, Sabine's TIE, and I had the K-Wing. And, like, against a Decimator? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I've went against a Decimator before with a similar setup and was dead in, like, 3 turns. Like, there's nothing you can do against that ship.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I had no chance in that game against Jeff whatsoever. Literally, probably the only reason I was able to win the one game is only because Chris did the donuts on an asteroid for, like, 3 turns.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah. He probably would have just taken me out 3 or 4 more turns.
Yeah, like, usually I make a couple of mistakes. I'll play way too many cards on my ships, and I'll just forget some of my abilities and, you know.
Oh, yeah, I was doing that yesterday, too.
I do that a lot. But the first game I played yesterday against Mike, I played against his standard, you know, Countess, Vader, and then he had one of the new ships or something. And it was a super close game. Like, it came down to every ship left on the table had 1 hit point left, and he just happened to attack first because Vader's a 9. So he happened to get lucky. You know what I mean? Like, it was a very close game. And I don't mind losing, but I just don't want to get walked through. That's just like...
Well, that's what happened to me in the second game, and that's why I was like, oh, I'm done with X-Wing for today.
Yeah, it can be fun, but if the other guy, like, spends hundreds of thousands of more dollars, like, there's no way.
It'd be the equivalent for somebody who's not familiar. If you showed up with a Warhammer 40K starter set and somebody else had, like, a giant table with...
The beef?
Yeah, it had, the Citadel and a bunch of, like, catapults and just armies on top of armies.
And 4 different armies.
Yeah, like, traps and everything. And you're like, I got 5 guys.
Or you show up to, like, a Magic tournament and just buy a starter deck off the shelf and enter, like... That's not going to happen very... That's not going to work well in your favor.
Yeah, you can't. Magic, the thing with Magic, though, that I like is that Magic is cheaper to build a set quicker.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can build a collection really fast and start customizing a deck that at least will enable you to hold your own against other players. Whereas,
and if you
like,
have...
this game is like, some ships are $40.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But, going back to Magic, if you... You know, if you're playing somebody and they've just got some wicked cards, you could be like, oh, let me write those down, hop on Amazon. Oh, they're 75 cents a piece. Boom, I'll spend $5 and add 17 cards to my deck that are going to just annihilate. You know what I mean? Like, beautiful.
FYI, I'm going to go sell my Magic cards to Andrew today.
He keeps begging me to bring mine in, but I just can't do it.
I actually thought about if I had, like, doubles, triples, and quadruples, I would take some out, bring them over there, see what I can get.
Oh, I do. I've definitely got... almost a complete revised set times 2. You know what I mean? Like, but what happens when I want to play 2 of that card? You know what I mean? Like,
there's another X-Wing tournament going on next Sunday.
I am at the point where I think, like, X-Wing, Magic, and Pokemon tournaments are happening every day at this point.
Yeah.
Because there's another game store by my house that I've always seen, and I just kind of wrote it off. I'm like, I don't know. Like, that looks like a thrift store.
Nice.
What's
it
called?
And I looked on Fantasy Flight. It's called Titan.
What?
Yeah.
That's new. I know of Grognard,
but
that's in Roselle.
X-Wing store championship next Sunday.
Nice. As I know, yeah, there's a ton of new stores popping up because there's...
And this one's like literally like 10 minutes away.
I'd say it's definitely
not
worth
even,
checking
actually.
Out.
Not even.
I'm going to go up there today then.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to go up there and I'm going to buy all their inventory so you got nothing to look at.
Well, I know there's Hot Sauce, but that's in Darien. There's Grognard, which is in Roselle. There's
and
a place.
If you come to my area, Scott, if you're smart, you'll go to the Gaming Goat because they're actually the cheapest around.
Yeah, I actually do want to come up and check that one out.
So do I, because they may have Islebound, but I have to wait till at least next payday.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they do, actually.
Nice. Well, all I know is that the guy that owns the Gaming Goat by us told us it's the smallest one in the entire state, so at least...
Which one? His?
Yeah, ours that we were at yesterday. It's the small... Like he said, it's a test store. And it's the smallest one in the state, so.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's the thing. They opened a bigger one in Kankakee, which is weird, because now Kankakee, which is, I mean, if you're in Kankakee and listening, hi, but your city's kind of a dump. And they have 2 game stores. They have two game stores, and I don't know if they still have it, but they used to have a YMCA with a bitchin' skate park.
See, here's the deal. There's some all right areas at Kankakee. I personally would never live there, but it's kind of big. That's the thing. You know what I mean? There's room for two game stores in Kankakee.
I know.
Plus, you like all the stupid little other stupid towns like peppered in, like St. Anne and
I just feel
Romance
like it's,
and all that shit.
I just feel like it's Tornado Alley.
Not so much Kankakee, maybe, but like definitely.
You know, this is how I look at it. It's too close to St. Louis.
South and east.
Dude, St. Louis is a rad city. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you serious?
Yes.
We went for Comic-Con like 2 years ago.
Every time I go to St. Louis, I'm like, I could totally live here.
I totally could not.
Why?
Because it just reminds me of Sanford and Son.
I'll remind you of Sanford.
Dude, that's even more reason to live there.
I know. It would be. It usually would be. If Grady and Bubba are going to be my roommates, then I could probably do it then.
I just remember the one time I went down there, they had this strip. It was kind of similar to the Riverwalk in Naperville, but way bigger. And I mean, the whole strip had like awesome stores, cool record stores, like awesome places to eat. And then it was like 2 miles long of just rad stores, like Targets and Walmarts. 2000.
No.
It's in the part of St. Louis that leads towards like the college town part or like suburbs or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, there were like all these cool coffee shops. There were like three awesome record stores within like a mile and a half of each other. Like if you were into vinyl or like indie music, like they had. I was just like, dude, there's a record store. There's another record store. Yeah, they're both not that bad. And I went in there. I'm like, not that bad. I'm like, maybe I'm just bored of the ones in Chicago, but these stores seem to have all the stuff I can't find up north.
Is that what the name of the store was? All the Stuff?
I don't remember. It was like seriously.
That's a great name.
It was like 18 years ago, but. And then they had a Wild Oats, which is like the cooler, hipper version of Whole Foods. And it was, that was pretty rad. I was into that place. Plus, the dude that played in that band, Johnny Angel, worked there.
You mean
so
Dave?
No, that one, he had like short, he was shorter, he had black hair and glasses. He was like the drummer, maybe.
It wasn't Amy Mealy's boyfriend, was it?
No, but she knew him when we went in there, so he like gave us free muffins and stuff, which was rad.
I like muffins.
They're good. I was into the muffins.
Who's not into muffins?
Giggity. I was waiting for someone to take it there. Because it's the first thing that popped into my stupid head.
I was just trying to. I was just waiting for someone to finish. You knew I was going to take it there.
I kind of figured. Widdly boop. Widdly wow.
All I can think about is Carl now.
That's why I love it. I just need to
make sure my music collection hasn't been stolen. All right, Judas Priest, Crocus, nailed it.
Pretty much.
Speaking of which, I spent like an hour last night watching videos of old crappy metal bands from the 80s.
Like Crocus?
I forget.
I turned on the TV and was like, I'm going to spend 40 minutes trying to find something to watch.
I just
turned it off.
I watched an interview with King Diamond, except he was wearing sweatpants and sunglasses. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And it was like, wow, this guy's super boring. I had no idea. He's like literally just sitting in his living room in his game chair staring at his flat screen TV.
He's a huge gamer.
Yeah.
Huge.
He's got this massive record collection on the wall. Swords and TV with video games.
That's
all he had in his living room. I mean, he's got a big house. I think he lives down in Texas. And he's married to, like, a woman half his age.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's hot enough here. I don't want to live anywhere where it's going to be hotter. I don't understand the whole Texas and Florida and Arizona. I don't understand that shit.
I'd go for a weekend because I want to go to Hunter Pence's game store.
Well, I guess we're going to Texas. Actually, I believe there's the Dragon's Lair is in Texas, too.
Yep.
Because I looked into possibly bringing a franchise to Chicago. As soon as my GoFundMe gets started, I'll open one.
You should look into that Australian one. They're opening a store here.
Yeah, in August. Can I pay with didgeridoos that I make out of wood in my backyard?
You could pay with Russell Crowe DVDs.
That done.
If you have Gladiator on VHS, you're in.
I could probably scrounge that up. All right, I suppose we should move into the number uno. For those of you that pay attention. So the number one this week was Terminarch on USM. Awesome. Awesome Comics. I don't know how to say it.
OSSM, in case they're listening.
Yeah, it's OSSM, which just to me sounds like Awesome Comics, which is like awesome. So, yeah, I like it.
So Stacy Dash is the owner.
I don't know who that is.
She's the girl from Clueless that became.
Do you even know that?
Because she's in the news because she became a big Mitt Romney girl.
Ill. Anywho, Jordan Hart and Terry Huddleston. This is a story that I can never get to the page I need. That Jordan Hart has kind of had in his brain since high school. You know, it's changed over the years, but he was finally able to do it. And starts out 36 years into the future. And we have this guy who's, you know, hunting deer in the wilderness with like a bow. Not like a bow, but like a staff. A spear. Thank you. For those of you who didn't help. And as he brings this animal down and he goes over, he's like, he can sense, you know, because he's been living in the wild now for about 30 years. He knows that someone is there. And he's like, oh, no scent. That's weird. Show yourself. You know, and out comes this dude with, like, jeans and a parka. Hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? So, from there.
Just passing through.
Yeah, right? Mind if I play through? So then we cut back 30 years, which is still, like, 6 years in our future. And it's the same guy, which you don't know yet. But, you know, basically he's out partying with his friends. And they're like, oh, my life's falling to shit. I'm going to divorce my stupid wife, and she's about to take my trust fund. Let's have one last night in Atlantic City.
He's basically Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, no, he's the total, like, trust fund. Like, he never did anything to make his money. He just has it because of his family.
Which is the cool way to get it.
Right. That way you can super look down on everybody else because you work so hard. Wait, we're getting a little off topic here. Anywho. They're trying to hail a cab. They can't hail a cab. They steal a cab. And while they're all obliterated drunk, they're driving down the street, and then he kills this lady. He runs her over. Dad's Sweet. Like, we ain't doing shit to help you. Your blood's all over the car. Your fingerprints are everywhere. You got to go dark, basically. So that's how he got to the wilderness. Fast forward back, and the guy's like, shake his hand, and he's like, hey, you're fucking that guy. He's like, no, I'm not. I'm Dave Johnson.
You're not far off.
Really. Right. So basically, it goes on from there where these two go back to his cabin and start having a conversation, and he basically explains to this guy who's been off the grid for the last 30 years that, you know, they developed androids to take over, like, the difficult jobs, you know, like the coal mining, the dangerous jobs, and they were always sentient beings who finally decided, you know what? You know, what you always hear, they're going to rise up and destroy humanity. Well, they did. Outside of one specific group of people, which I won't get into the specifics, so that way, you know, I'm not going to give too much away, but there's a small group of people left on the planet, and the person who is leading the charge against the rebellion against the androids...
Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, right. Is, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious that it was going to be his daughter, so whatever, spoilers, not really. It was obvious.
Brian, what if it was a dolphin leading the charge?
I mean, it'd be weird, but I'd be into it.
But, you know, he basically...
I feel like manta rays and seahorses don't get a lot of love. Maybe we should start shifting gears from Sharknado to Seahorse Apocalypse.
Yeah, I suppose that can happen.
Seahorse Apocalypse.
And he basically wants him to come back.
Maybe we should just shorten it to Seahorse Ellipse.
So gross.
Seahorse Swarm.
It's got a dual meaning. It could be a porn or a disaster movie.
Man, this is getting weird quick. So, yeah. And he basically wants him to come back to humanity to, you know, to do some things and some stuff. I'm not trying to give too much away here, but...
The code is 37842QX! Exclamation point.
So yeah, anywho. This is a fantastic setup for the story that I hope is to come.
Can I interject for half a second?
Yeah.
I hope they don't do another page of this story.
Okay. I don't care what you want.
I'm just saying. I'll go back to your thing.
No, I was just saying that it's a you've listened in the past, and there's times when we go, like, I understand it's the number one, but you literally gave us nothing. This is a glorified number one. It's basically a small trade, and it gives you just one of the best setups for what could possibly be a great story. But they may or may not make any more. And if it ended the way it did and they never did another thing, it's still, as a standalone number one trade, whatever, is a great story. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm glad I picked it.
I agree.
And go.
Well, the reason I say I hope they never make another panel of this is because for a book that I have no prior knowledge of whatsoever, I was super impressed by this. And if they don't do another page of it, there's no possible way of dragging it out, stretching it too thin, etc., etc.
Commercializing.
Like I'm not worried about... I'm not really worried about commercialization. I'm more worried that over time they start running low on ideas and they just start kind of ham-fisting it. And it seems to happen with some series. The longer they go, they get weird or they just get long in the tooth. And this one is short, it's compact, and it gives you all the information you could possibly need. And it's really well written. It's drawn exceptionally well. I like everything about it, and I don't want it tainted accidentally or purposefully later on by just sheer lack of interest or whatever. I just want it to be what it is. It was it reminded me of like Ex Machina meets Childhood's End, and
meets
I was
sex.
Not even close. I just really like, I was like the whole time reading, I'm like, man, this is a really impressive book. I'm like, I almost didn't want it to end, but then when it was over, I was satisfied with the way it ended. It was super ambiguous, but it was like a clean ending. There was no... I mean ambiguous in that you can continue it, but at the same time, I'm like, there's no reason to go any further. I feel like because this started as a short story idea, I feel like it should stay that way because it's super good as it is.
I don't know. I'm kind of torn. Like, I want to give it something super high, but I kind of want to give it something... a little bit less. Like, I don't want to go too crazy with it, but it was really good. And I feel like Brian said, if they go forward, they can't overdo it. But if they don't go forward, it's still, you know, pretty fucking good as it is. Oh,
well, yeah,
geez.
I mean, if we give it a good review, I mean, based on our podcast alone, it's going to probably just blow up.
Oh, I mean, of course, it's going to be everywhere. I think I'll go a little kind of crazy high, and I'll go 8.5.
That was my score as well. Yeah, I just I think this is a really neat short story. I like it as is. I don't want it to continue because, like I said, it's pretty much close to perfect as is. Yeah. I was really surprised by it. Because honestly, when I was flipping through it at the store, I was just kind of like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm, you know, it's not my pick. I wouldn't pick this, though. And then after I read it, I'm like, oh, man, I would have been missing out if I didn't pick this. So,
yeah, I don't want to give away anything else about it. But once you find out the reasoning behind why the androids wiped out humanity, basically, it's like, it's a very unique idea that I don't think has ever been done. And that is part of why I love this book so much.
Yeah, it does really kind of touch on current day themes, but not in a overt or super on the nose fashion. Yeah. It's really,
it's more on the lips.
It's really, yes. No, it's really broad. So, I mean, it's applicable 20 years from now or 20 years ago or whenever. It's not like, oh, if you weren't there then, it's not really relevant now.
Right.
Kind of like Reagan in The Dark Knight Returns. It's like, oh, yeah, pretty cool in 85. Now it's kind of like, oh, wasn't that guy in a cartoon once? He was. Remember? Family Guy? Reagan smash.
Yep, I remember now. I
think so.
How disrespectful to the giver.
Alrighty, moving right along. Should we just let's jump right into our over under owning a robot? And man, I really thought this was going to be kind of easy, but I think, and this is going to sound weird, But I think that, you know, the daily household chore stuff might be a little overrated because that's just going to give me more of a reason, of more an excuse to just play Overwatch or sit on the computer or watch TV.
Yeah, hey, I don't want to go off topic here real quick, but you guys remember when you were here at my house, whatever, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the table that we played on was pretty much like a perfect square, right?
Yes.
So I just put my X-Wing mat on that. There is plenty of room on the table still for you to have your cards and upgrades in front of you.
Oh, yeah, I kind of figured because your table's way bigger than 3x3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be super nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, dude, I'm like, this is going to rule.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll find out in December. Okay.
Well, let's hope not, but yeah, and again,
no, I think Brian's pretty much right.
I'm definitely not the guy that like loves doing shit around the house, but I feel like, nope. You know, there are times that, you know, I do enjoy doing that stuff on rare occasions, but you know, I don't know. Sometimes I just like to crank on the radio and, you know, do a little dusting. Right?
Different
right?
Kind
a little
of
double meaning there.
There's very much a double meaning there. And I was going to say, you definitely participate in the dusting.
The crop dusting?
Yep.
I just did that right now.
Nailed it.
I'm really sorry to everyone listening right now.
Why? They don't have to smell it.
That's true. All right. My overrated reason for owning a robot would be, I'm not trying to say that I'm like the biggest smart human being ever to walk the planet. But I like to think that I occasionally know a thing or two about a thing or two. And I think having a super smart robot with all the information would get annoying sometimes. When you say something and you're a little wrong and it goes, actually, Dave, or I mean, in my case, Brian, actually, Brian, the blah, 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 blah. I'd be like, you know what, robot? Shut up. I didn't ask you for your fucking opinion. Zip it. And then it'll be like, actually, zip it is blah, 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 blah. You should say, please close your mouth, I'd be like, dude, this robot with the goddamn information all the time, correcting everything I do. I would probably have to karate chop in the neck. But then, because it knows everything, it probably already learned karate, and it's like a 9th-degree black belt, and it'd kick me in the stomach, and my intestines would fall out, and I'd be dead. So I think that having a robot basically follow you around, correcting your mistakes, would be super annoying after a while. Assuming that's what it does. Unless you just get a Roomba, then I don't think it's going to do any of that.
Yep.
You just glue your iPod to it, now you got a movable stereo, like Tom Haverford. Nothing?
No.
No.
You guys are the worst.
I'm trying to think, what would be overrated about it? Is it could be any kind of robot, because like the first thing that actually comes to mind is like Alex and Ada.
Oh, I mean, yeah, go nuts.
So I guess with the sex, did too much sex be overrated or?
Yeah, that would be terrible.
I had no idea you were going to go that way.
I still find it odd, as I'm sure anyone would.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking stuff up online right now.
I suppose if there wasn't a need for it, they wouldn't be developing it, but it still is kind of... I agree, it's a little weird, maybe. Maybe.
But, I think the... Because I think I remember, like, in the book, didn't she, like, pretty much always ask Alex, like, well, what do you want to do? Well, what do you feel? You know, like...
Until he, you know... Enabled her to be sentient. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, yeah, until he unlocked her like an iPhone. And
I think that's what kind of, I think he was kind of the same way. It kind of weirded him out a little bit, and he was just like, it was weird.
No, Dave, yeah, I don't want to watch Goodfellas for the 50th time this week.
Right.
Alex, would you like to make the sex again?
Give me 5 minutes.
Can I have blueberry muffins first? Can they have cream cheese on them? Can you make them now?
So, yeah. Let's move us on to underrated. I think it'd be kind of neat to have a 24/7 genius gamer. I.e., you're sitting there, you're playing a game with all your friends, and you're like, you're arguing over the rules. You just ask, hey, robot, you know everything. what is the rules on this? And they go, oh, well, in that instance, blibbity blobbity snorbity. And then when you have no friends like me, you can have a robot here to play stuff and teach you games instead of you having to read 70-page rule books all the time. Like, hey, robot, read this in 2 seconds, and then let's do this.
Mike would hate that so much.
And let's face it. We've all got a couple of games on our shelves that we haven't played yet because no one wants to read the 40-page rule book.
Or my favorite thing, I read the 40-page rule book, and I learn the game, and then no one wants to play it, and a month later I forgot all the rules.
Yeah, that's another great thing.
Woo.
Yeah.
Take that, Twilight Imperium.
Oh, say it, Brian, say it.
Yeah, right.
What?
You know.
I do? What do I know?
Well, I guess you didn't. Thought you were going to come in with a nailed it right after you said that.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't even think of nailed it, no. But now that you said it, nailed it.
And go.
Actually, mine was pretty similar. Mine was, if I lived alone and I had a robot that had to do what I wanted all the time, like, I'd have somebody to play board games with every single day. So I'd be like, robot, we're going to play Feast for Odin, and you're going to set yourself to medium light so I have a chance to win. I'd be like, this guy is the best. Look at him.
After, oh, never mind. I can't say my comment.
He keeps taking the low-level fur pelts, and I keep taking all the good stuff. I love winning this game. My board game geek numbers would be out of control. I'd be like 87 and 4.
You had to have a guy robot, because if you was a girl, then after you said that, I was going to say, oh, and then we can have sex after this game.
I didn't say a guy robot, did I?
You didn't specify.
You said him.
Oh, okay, I did do that, but... I mean, any robot. I could have a horse robot. I don't care.
That would be great. I would ride him to work.
What if it
I'd be going down the freeway doing 45 on a horse.
What if it became sentient and it lowered its weight capacity to like 1 pound above where you're at every single time? So even if you lost weight, if you're like, oh, I'm down to 160. Oh, my limit is 159.
Good. Then
like,
I would,
this stupid robot horse.
It would at least
worst.
Get me to lose weight, and then I would kill it.
Then. Yeah, then you'd lose so much weight that you'd turn into an anorexic. And then
I didn't say I would lose enough to use it. I would just lose enough to where I'm happy, and then I would just start beating it.
No, that would start to be annoying, and it would start riding your friends around and not letting you on it.
That's fine. I'll shoot it.
You're like, why is Max, Mike, Brian, and Chris all on a horse at the same time, but I can't ride it to work?
You're always being the ruiner of my fun. You're fired.
It'd be funny. The horse got to... basically make
fired.
Its own choices.
Let's go. You know the rules. You're next.
I already went.
Oh.
I just did it. I said a robot to play.
How the hell do we get on the subject of a horse?
I said I could be a horse robot. I don't care if it's a horse.
So I totally derailed it and didn't even realize it.
Yeah, you did.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it's pretty much
correct. Yeah, Chris, come on. Jeez.
Having sex.
That was your overrated as well, just so you know.
Yeah.
It's also my underrated.
All right. I mean,
again, just thinking into Alex and Ada, like,
it's your pick.
Well, already, you know, I'm gonna have to say, I think if I could just get like a slightly more advanced Alexa, I think I would be thrilled, because right now it's super convenient to be able to listen to music, get the weather, get the news, ask generally almost any question I want, play games, you know, like trivia games with it. But if it can actually get up and, like, make me pancakes once in a while, like, I think that'd be great.
What if you had an Alexa that could play board games, but you had to physically do all the movement for her or him or
I would be too tempted to cheat.
What if it saw you cheating and said, I don't want my piece to go there, Scott. But what if it, like, could zap, like, a bolt of electricity at you? Just enough to make you go, ah!
Well, then I'd unplug it.
Then you're playing nobody.
Yeah, well, that's better than getting shocked for cheating.
Or you can stop cheating.
No, I can't win then.
Then don't ask for a more advanced Alexa.
Yeah, Max.
Right? I don't know who we're talking about.
He's going to be listening. He's like, what the fuck?
He'll never listen. He's going to be the next one to Dinkins out on us. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Now you just did it.
Yep. So, anywho, moving along to... best thing ever. I had a pretty decent week. Like, I probably could have picked a few different things, but I want to just go ahead and say, like, the massive gaming yesterday. Like, we did a couple hours of X-Wing, and then we went to the GOAT, And then we had
some... And bought nothing.
Well, Brian bought, and he was the only one that really wanted to go. None of us really wanted to, of course.
Nobody ever does, Mike.
And then we came back and played Blood Rage again, which I didn't win.
At all.
Once again, my plan got screwed, but, I mean, that's the whole point of the game. But I also screwed Chris out of his stuff, and Jeff got screwed out of his stuff, and Mike screwed himself, and, I mean, he eventually won, but... Yeah, like
it was weird because I felt like Jeff wasn't doing as much as he did the first time, but then he scored like 20 points higher than he did last time. 20
porns? Yeah, he did get a lot of porns during that game.
No, he got like 30 points higher than he did last time, and I'm like sitting there going, what is he doing? I'm like, he's still got like 5 rage and he hasn't done anything.
His rage was free. He didn't pay for shit because he had that one upgrade card in the very beginning.
Yeah.
He invaded for free and he upgraded for free. So he always had rage. He just didn't know what the hell to do with it.
Yeah,
he should have used that rage to flip the table because he got screwed.
It's funny how that game got better like the second or third, fourth
time. I will agree that it is kind of lame that they don't give you a reason to leave the area once you've conquered it. Like, you could literally just keep your four guys there for the whole game.
Yeah, I think that should change. That should, like, kind of start, like, anew for, like, a new age.
Especially towards the end of the game when, like, everybody is allowed to put out, you know, 9 guys, and there's no space left on the board because three...
Or what they could do.
3 spaces are already destroyed. You can't deploy to the middle. And because that's all Mike did. Well, that's all Mike did, and he just kept his guys in the spaces so that no one can bring nobody out.
Right. But what they could do is make you take...
You should be able to contest those areas.
Somehow. Like, there's got to be a way. But that's the thing, too. Unless you're going to pillage, there's no way to fight. So I can't go in there and be like, I want to fight you. You just got to go. You're just both there, which is kind of weird.
I'm going to go back and look at the rule book. I bet you there is something that lets you do that.
Right? People are listening like, God, what a bunch of morons.
You guys are dumb.
You guys are but a bunch of ignoramus.
I agree. Is it my turn?
I don't know. What are we doing?
Best thing ever?
Yep.
All right. Mine is the game Neverwinter for the PS4. It's basically, last week was my nephew's birthday. He got an Xbox, and we were looking around for games for him to download. I saw Neverwinter in the store, so I was like, oh, you guys want to watch the trailer of this? So they're like, I don't care, you know, whatever. And they saw like 50 dragons. And they're like, oh my God, I want this game. So I was like, man, I kind of want this game too. So I was like, all right, I downloaded it for them. And then I went home and downloaded it for me. And I came home the next night and I got like 5 levels. And I was like, man, this game's rad. I'm like, it's basically like any other MMO, but running around and hear people talk about Waterdeep, Forgotten Realms, and Drizzt is kind of rad. So I was super into it. Plus, I'm a Drow Ranger, which I don't see Drows in a lot of other games like this. I mean, there's always Dark Elves and stuff, but... Drow is a specific Dungeons & Dragons character class, and being a Drow rules, and talking to a homeless guy who keeps yelling Lords of Waterdeep, which is pretty rad. So, yeah, I mean, it's free to play, and it's an action RPG, so you're, like, constantly involved. I'm into it.
Nice. I like it.
Plays nice and fluid on the PS4 with the controller. You don't have to have the keyboard and the mouse and the... You can watch the other people try to chat to you and just run away and go fight an orc. Stupid orcs. But that's how you get the free bag, though.
Right on.
Everyone's like, I don't care about stupid bags and friggin' orcs.
Sexual healing. Whoops. Yesterday was a good day. That was good for the week. Good end of the week.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I'm surprised you didn't slap Mike like 2 or 3 times, though, to be honest with you.
I agree with that too.
I honestly, like, of all times, I felt that you would be like well within your rights to just like backhand him across the old face. Like,
well,
yesterday.
I mean, let's be honest. Anytime he's in the room, everybody's well within their rights to slap him across the face.
I thought Chris particularly had a bone to slapping faces. I mean,
well, you know he's just goofing around.
I honestly know that dude doesn't mean what he says. So right. That's why I don't really.
No, I know. But I just think it would. If you would have done it, I would have laughed. I mean, I'm just saying.
Right.
It doesn't bother me because you can make fun of him and he takes it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. he dishes it out and he accepts, you know, the dishing. So he's not, you know, he's not a pansy foo-foo like that. So I don't really care. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he can dish it out, but he can take it too. He takes it. So
yeah, he does.
He doesn't, you know, whine and complain about him. You know, oh, you know, like, you guys are making fun of him. You know, he's
everyone's so always picking on me.
Yeah, he, you know, he dishes it out, but he also gets it too. So
yeah, I feel like most people in our group are pretty good about that. Jeff's still trying to get used to it, but he'll come around once I punch him in the dick or something. I don't know.
You know, that's why it doesn't really bother me. So it's not like he does it all the time. I don't care. Yeah. This is a game.
I'm still super pumped that Jeff almost had a table flipping moment like last week.
Dude, he's almost had a couple.
I know, but one particular, like, I was like, oh my God, he's got the game rage.
Yeah.
I did a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, you did too yesterday. I was actually pretty psyched for that as well because I'm like, yes! That's when it's no turning back.
When Scott went and put that down. Like, seriously, dude, my blood just went up. I'm like...
Oh, yeah.
I remember, like, a year and a half ago when I was ready to, like, burn the house down, and you're like, why are you so mad? I'm like, you'll see. Someday you'll see.
Young Padawan, you are ready.
Yeah, now you're ready to win. You can't win until you get angry. Because that's when...
Well, I take meds for anger.
Oh, there's no stopping the rage.
No, seriously, I do.
I'm talking about, I don't know, it's fine, I'm just saying, when it comes to the games, there's no stopping the rage.
The rage!
And I thought I was getting a little PO'd, especially when you, like, beat me and I didn't get any of your ships. I'm like, dude, I'm like, how do I lose to the fuck that has three fucking ships?
The total. That's the cumulative total of my collection. Yeah.
Of his armada. It's like, how the hell did this just happen? I'm like, oh, that's right. I drove like a stupid cab driver.
And then nowadays, I think it's an Uber driver or a Lyft driver or I don't know what the other one is. But anywho.
It's funny. I was just kind of thinking about that too. But I was also thinking the other week, Brendan and I were talking about how like Netflix and Redbox like single-handedly bankrupted Blockbuster.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie, when people, even nowadays, when people are like, oh, I just went to Redbox, I'm like, why? You could have just got it on the interwebs, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably on Netflix, and if not, you can rent it on Amazon for $2. Why would you leave
the good thing
house?
About Redbox is if you're at the store and you're right there, you could just grab it like within like 2 minutes.
I guess, I don't know, I've never looked at it. I know a lot of people that use it. I never understood why.
We used to use it quite a bit, but we don't use it too much anymore. I mean, we got Prime and we have Netflix, so.
Yeah. But yeah, the video stores have all
faded away.
You know, and I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say I sit here and I'm not going to say that I miss video stores, but I do miss, like, okay, there's the horror section and here's everything they have from A to Z. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't. It's not tailored to what you've already watched. So that's my biggest gripe with Amazon and especially Netflix. Like, I want to go to horror, and I want to look A to Z at every fucking title you have. I don't want you to tell me, well, you watched this stupid movie, so here's a million other stupid movies like it. Like, no. I have a wide variety of films that I like, and now you're trying to tailor my experience to what you think I like when all I've done is watch one horror movie. If you don't know what you want to watch, searching for something to watch on those things is a nightmare.
All I know. Said. Especially, like, it says, you just watched Exorcist, you might also like this. And it's like, Jesus Christ Superstar, Billy Graham Special.
Right, like, you've got 500,000 movies in your library, but you're going to show me the 150 you think I might like. Like, that is such bullshit to me.
That said, I will watch Pumpkinhead.
What makes you? That's why. Yeah, I just watched The Exorcist. What makes you think I want to watch? The hell's it? The Ten Commandments.
Right. Well, and here's the thing too. It's just like, I couldn't tell you how many times I've searched for 30 minutes and just like screw this, and I just like turn on fucking YouTube, because I just am so fed up with you know, searching for something to watch sometimes.
Angry Scott, he's angry all the time at stupid Amazon and Netflix.
I don't know. That's right. I know you love to defend that shit, but I think it sucks.
I called it the Netflix.
That's fine. You're old. You're allowed to.
No, I think they're great, actually, because now you don't have to get to the video store and you have to don't have to make sure you get there early enough so you can actually get a copy of the new release.
Right.
You just download the new release.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if you know what you want to watch, it's fantastic. But if
I also like the fact that movies go to DVD a lot sooner than before, no matter regardless how they did, like in the box office.
Yeah, that is another fantastic thing. Because they're not waiting for the rental sales to go up, you know what I mean, or whatever. The rental dollars. Yeah, I guess that's about it for the full of the week. So anywho, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find all of our podcasts at comicroast.com. And you can find all of our written stuff at reviewandroast.com. Don't forget to check out everything. Check out the Patreon. Check out the Instagrams. Check out the tweetins and the Facebookins. So until the next week, I guess, have a good one.